information that was available over the past 5,000 years. And what the author was saying is how much knowledge and information is at our disposal. But of all this knowledge, the one that the Almighty God wants us to know more than anything else, what it says? Verse 9 of the book of Ephesians, of Colossians chapter 1.
That ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will.
You notice, don't move. You notice what is a prayer. It's a wish by Paul. That the Christian at Colossae might be filled with the knowledge
of his will.
Of God's will. But he didn't say.
In all wisdom.
In all wisdom.
And spiritual understanding.
You see, it's not understanding relating to secular things. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, we need that. But it is the understanding relating to spiritual things. Am I preaching on ignorance today? No. I'm just acknowledging and reminding you and me that we need to know God's will better. One man said, the older we grow, the greater becomes our wonder at how much ignorance one can contain without piercing one's clothes. You get the point? What he was saying, that the older we become is the more you wonder how much ignorance can be in us, that we don't get so fat with ignorance that we start bursting up our clothes. That man was emphasizing the amount of ignorance that exists in us, that our clothes are going to start bursting out because of the amount of ignorance. We are still on the subject of baptism, because there are few important things that I need to share on the subject. Not that there could not be another dozen sermons, truly, on the subject, but because these are things that I have prepared and were meant to be a part of this lesson, I feel I would be doing the subject injustice and doing you injustice, leaving them for another time when I may never get back to them. So we pick up on the point that a man or a woman who got baptized as an outward sign of an inner grace, that person was never baptized in God's sight. And scripturally, the person went in the water for reason and purpose that was totally strange to the Almighty God. Baptism is scriptural only when it is submitted to on God's term And for the reason God wants you to submit to it. When you and I submit to baptism, having our own reason. Let me illustrate. Do you know coming to church can, instead of being a blessing, can be a sinful thing for us? Did I say instead of being a blessing? Yes. A gentleman who have done some work for us here, he was here this past week, and I said to him, Mr. etc., etc., you know, do you go to church? And he smiled. And I said, I'm inviting you to church. So he smiled and said, yes, Mr. Mitchell, one of the Sunday I'm going to come and give you a blessing. I said in my mind, I said, you have it turned around. Yes, you see. You have it really turn around, because if any blessing going to be had, it's you when you come and listen to God's word. So coming church can be a curse instead of a blessing if we come for the wrong reason. Just the same way with baptism. When you get baptized, go in the water for the wrong reason that is not in keeping with the gospel, you have not been baptized. You remember that? Both the Egyptian and the Israelite went in the Red Sea. Huh? You don't remember that? For the Israelite, it was emancipation, it was transformation, and it was a blessing. May I go over that? It was emancipation. Emancipation or freedom. From slavery in Egypt to living a free life where they could serve God. It was transformation, transforming them from a life of slavery, hardship, and injustice to a life of freedom where they could live their lives as God wants them to live. It was, of course, I said, a transformation. That is, for the Israelite, it was a blessing. But for the Egyptian, I mean the very same sea. And look here. From all indication, they entered at the very same place. That is the place that Moses had opened for the Israelite to pass through. The Egyptian pursuing them entered the same place, but for the Egyptian, the same Red Sea, for the Egyptian it was destruction. As I promised some time ago, a great lesson coming up Sunday on that passage. But it's a lesson that will help you to understand God better. And to help us understand how we can read into the Bible something it hasn't said. And that is where the Almighty God said to Pharaoh that for this very reason I raise you up. Don't miss that lesson, and your friends and relatives. Great lesson to serve the purpose of helping us to understand better how God works with us. Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the Egyptian, it was destruction. You know why? They went in, that is the Israelite and the Egyptian, by two different authority. I thought you were continuing on the subject of baptism. Exactly. Because I'm here dealing with, by what authority do you enter the water? Whose reason are you going into that river, baptismal pool, or wherever? Whose reason is taking you there? Are you going there for your own reason or for God's attached reason? If you go there for your own reason, such as you're getting baptized as an outward show of an inner grace, then you can do that 1,000 times and you're still not baptized. We, members of the Lord's church, should know that so that we can enlighten others. Another thing I find instructive is that the same stretch out rod that opened the path through the Red Sea for the Israelites is the same stretch out rod that brought the sea back and destroyed the Egyptians. The same stretch out rod. What a great God. Brothers and sisters, why do you get baptized? Nadab and Abihu. Won't read it, but if you want to read it, when you get home, it is found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 3. Nadab and Abihu simply took the fire from the wrong place. And for that reason, all fires are not the same fire. That's right. Just merely taking it from a different place made it strange fire. New Testament baptism, true baptism, is based up on teaching which presupposes understanding and acceptance. I'm going to repeat that. True God ordained, God fixed baptism is based upon teaching. That teaching presupposes understanding. It is felt that when you get that teaching, you will understand. Stand, and that teaching presupposes not only understanding, it presupposes acceptance. It means that the understanding you gather when you are taught, you will make a decision to rationally accept or reject baptism up on the basis that God have commanded you to do it. And this is why Acts 8, 30 and 31. Again, quick, brother.
Mm-hmm. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest?
That's important. Of all the questions. Philip could simply ask, do you like the story that you are reading? He didn't ask that. It seems, for some reason, Philip discovered that the man was reading. Of course, it was the Old Testament scripture. And it so happened that it's no accident that the man was reading about Jesus Christ. The passage that is found in Isaiah chapter 53. The fitting question. You see, here we come back to understanding. You know, the passage in Colossians chapter 1 that was read is about the importance of understanding the will of God. That is not simply for church leaders. It's for every child of God. So Philip asks, of the dozens of questions that the preacher could have asked, do you understand what you are reading? Because it's no use reading and you are not understanding. Do you understand what you are reading? Look at verse 35 through 37.
Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
Read on.
And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said,
Notice the prospective convert saw the water, having been taught of the necessity of baptism to salvation. He didn't want to pass the water. So he brought to the preacher's attention, see, water dear, you had taught to me some minutes ago that I must be baptized. What hinder me now? Notice again the business of understanding or the intellect. Read.
And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
If you believe with all your mind, that's what the heart means. If you believe with all your intellect, that's the concept of the heart. If you believe with all your understanding, you see, it must not be an irrational, emotional, impulsive belief. It must involve the mind. And the preacher had to make sure that was understood. New Testament baptism requires knowledgeable obedience. New Testament baptism requires knowledgeable obedience. Not simple emotional obedience. Not impulsive obedience. I feel to, therefore I do. Yes, it's good when you feel to. But there must be some understanding and rationality in it. Romans chapter 6. Let us hear it. Romans chapter 6. Verse 3 through verse 5.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death.
Read.
That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness
then
of life.
Let's step down to verse 17 and 18.
But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sins, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you.
You have obeyed from where?
From the heart.
From where?
From the heart.
Brothers and sisters, again, that is not talk about our emotion. It's not talking about our feeling. While the passage here include willingness, but that willingness has to do with our will. That when we obey, it is our volition, our will. It is something that we rationally see the need to do. Not just on the spur of the moment, we feel we should do it and we just do it. And then at the other spur of the moment, we're sorry we do it. That's not the idea. Obeyed from the heart. But I like the question in verse 3. Notice it again.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
May I have your attention? The phrase, know ye not, is translated by some translation, and correctly, means, have you forgotten? That's the concept here. And what the Apostle Paul is doing with the Romans is taking them back. Here it is like they were baptized at this point. And then, let's say 10 years after, Paul is writing them the letter. When he wrote the letter and said, know ye not, in effect he was saying, have you forgotten that 10 years ago when you baptized, what you were doing, what it implied? Then you know what he's going to do now? He's going to take them, remind them what they did 10 years ago and the truth that was taught to them and was accepted by them. So watch here now. Know ye not. Read.
That so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death.
Yeah. When they were taught 10 years ago, they knew that baptism put them in Jesus' death. Read on.
Verse 18. Or verse 4.
Verse 3, 4, and 5.
Therefore, we are buried with him.
Wait. They knew 10 years ago when they were baptized that baptism, in that baptism, they were buried with Christ. Read on.
By baptism into death.
That they knew that 10 years ago, when they were baptized, that baptism placed them in Christ's death. Watch here now. When 10 years after, just hypothetical, Paul writing to them and asks, don't you know or have you forgotten? He's trying to remind them, when you were taught, before you were baptized 10 years ago, you were shown the relationship between your baptism and Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's what he's doing here. Verse 4 and 5.
That like as Christ was raised up from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness
of life. All of this, it's not that 10 years after, they are being reminded that they did this, but this was not taught. All this was taught to them. And the question, know ye not, meaning, have you forgotten? that this is what you were taught and this is what you did? The same applies to prospective convert. Wait, it doesn't mean they have to know all the details of baptism. But there are certain things that they must know. At least they must know the reason and the purpose for baptism. Then in the same passage that the brother is, you obey from the heart. This means obedience with comprehension. Obeyed from the mind. It means that when they obeyed, they comprehended or they understood what they were doing. One must get baptized believing, understanding, and accepting that it is for or unto the remission of sin. May I? When you and I are teaching about baptism, while we cannot, because after man or woman got baptized, after that has been done, they are still going to learn more about baptism. But there are some basic things which they must know. One, they must understand why the Almighty God wants them to be baptized. It is for the remission of sin. Are we there? Are unto the remission of sin. This is the reason the Almighty God attached to baptism. We must make sure that we understand that there should be no ambiguity. You notice the apostle, especially in the book of Acts, when they were dealing, why? When Jesus Christ dealt with baptism, in the case of Nicodemus, Jesus Christ spoke in figure speech, telling the man, you must be born again. Poor Nicodemus was confused. But you notice in the book of conversion, the book of Acts, when the apostles dealt with prospective converts, everything was made plain. Everything was made plain. They hardly ever, Jesus Christ purposely spoke in parables. Purposely, for good divine reason. But when the apostle dealt with prospective convert, it was always plain speech. We must make sure that we understand. We must make sure that when we speak in plain speech. That is those of us who teach. The young man went to church with his grandmother. And when the offering plate came around, the grandmother noticed that her grandson took off his tie and dropped it in the offering plate. The grandmother said, "Son, what are you doing? What did the preacher say?" He said, "The preacher preached and told us that we must give our tithes and offering." It's tithes and offering. But he understood it as tithes and offering. We must make sure we make it plain. And we must make sure we do not read into God's word what is not there. Are we there? Brothers and sisters, what? May I? Just very important that we get this. In the book of Romans, read verse 3, verse 17 and 18 again for me.
But God be thanked.
Last week I came and had written something here that was meant for the lesson then. I'd come to Saturday night and put it on the board. I wanted to write those two statements out. And I didn't want it to be seen until I ready for it. So I turned the board around, because you'll be there trying to read it when I'm trying to preach and trying to wonder what that means. But somebody by then had come and turned it around. So now, this week I come, because I left it there, knowing that that part I want to emphasize in the lesson and show the two statements, I had not used it. So this week now, when I came in and look, I said, but this was the side of the board I placed it on. Somebody erased it. You see, it's not there. It's related to the verse 17 and 18. Let us hear it, brother.
But God be thanked.
But God be thanked.
That ye were the servants of sin.
Uh-huh.
But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you.
May I? You have obeyed from the art. That what?
That form of doctrine which was delivered you.
We have pointed out many times. Form, mold, print. Representation.
Template.
You know, I've never used that one, and that's a good one. T-E-M-P-L-E-T. Template. Do I have print? There are some others. I'm just... you have... pattern, C-O-P-Y, copy, all this. There is a passage, pattern, C-O-P-Y, copy. All these words, in fact, let me give you a passage where the word is used. Look at Romans 5:14 and John 20:25.
Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come.
The word figure, you see, the word used there is the word tupos, T-U-P-O-S, tupos. Now, the word, when a while ago I was looking on the wall, you see those plaques, you see, below the beam? To get that, the person, which is Ralston Dennis, have a mold. That's right. That is made out of putty and thing. You can easily break it. It's a mold that make those plaque. That you mix up the cement and the putty and in a water form and pour it and let it dry. When it dry, this comes out bearing the print of, or the semblance of, the mold in which it was poured. Let me hear John chapter 5, chapter 20, verse 25.
The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." What he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails."
The print, the word print, is the same word tupos. Except I shall see the print of, that is, what the nail left. The hole that the nail left would be the tupos. The mold, the print, the representation, the template, the pattern, the copy, the stamp. So when we read in the passage of Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, let us hear it again.
"But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you."
May I? The King James scholar trying to make it plain, sort of take away a little of the original concept. The original expression is that mold of doctrine where unto you were delivered. It's not so much that the mold was brought to them, it's like they were brought to the mold, and they were poured into, they are the liquid stuff. You know, Brother Peart, I even thought somewhere in the week, I thought of making, using these thin ply, In going up Ruamtan, right at the corner, if you are going up, just as you come around the corner, there's a gate where they are fixing up the wall, and they have some round form, round. And this week I said, because I had a little old lady and a plaque that I'll travel to America with it when I'm going to do meeting, just to demonstrate what I'm saying now. So this week I want to make a little mold, probably about a foot long, and show you. When you pour concrete or whatever in that mold and let it set, when you pull the mold, what you're pouring comes up bearing the image of the mold. So what Paul wrote was that mold of teaching where unto you the prospective convert were delivered, and you come out bearing the image of the mold. Put another way, that form of doctrine or teaching under which you were placed, notice, under which you were placed, under that form of teaching, and you come out bearing its copy, its stamp, its print, true obedience. It's like what he's saying here. When we were taught, we were taken to, you see, the mold that he spoke of, watch it, the mold that he spoke of, the tupos that he spoke of in verse 17 is going back to verse 3 and 4. and 5. That's where you find the mold, the pattern, the representation, the print, the template, the copy, the stamp. The stamp is actually in verse 3 and 4. Quick again, brother.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
His death. Read on.
Therefore, we are buried with him.
His burial.
By baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up.
His resurrection. That is the mode. That is the representation. That is the stamp that they were poured into. That is the copy that they were poured into. And through obedience, they came out looking like Jesus Christ. Bearing the image of his death, burial, and resurrection. Why? Because in repentance, they die with him. In baptism, they were buried with him. When they raised from the watery grave of baptism and comfort, they were spiritually resurrected with him. So it is depicted as the form of teaching under which you were placed or to which you were delivered. That is the original language, the original meaning of what was stated. But watch here now as we get to this last part of the lesson. Are there many purposes or design? That is God's fixed design for baptism. Are there many purposes? Our God fixed design for baptism. Do we baptize for many reasons? And somebody say, Brother Mitchell, yes, because many different statements are placed, are given in the gospel for which we are baptized. Could we just quickly run down some of these statements so that there be no confusion? In the book of Mark 16 and verse 16, are we there? Let us notice this and learn. We are told that we are baptized to be saved. Am I right? Yes. We are just going down briefly and quickly some of the reasons the gospel state for which we are baptized. So there you have one, Mark 16, 16. Two, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we are baptized for the remission of sin. That's right. So that's another reason. This one is to be saved. That one is for the remission of sin. That's Acts 2:38. Three, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 22, and verse 16, we are told that you are baptized to wash away your sin. Three, four. In the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6, and verse 3 through verse 5, we are told that we are baptized to identify, to identify with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Huh? Am I right? I know I'm right. Are we there? There's another one or two. And then the lesson will be yours. So here we have, in the book of Mark 16, 16, we are baptized. We are told that the purpose for which we are baptized is to be saved. That's Mark 16, 16. In the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we are told that we are baptized for the remission. The word remission really means removal of our sin. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 30. Acts chapter 16, 22, 16. The apostle Paul was told to get up and get baptized and wash away sin. So that passage is telling us that we are baptized to wash away our sin. That's Acts. Then in the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through verse 5, we are told that we are baptized. When we get baptized, it is for identifying with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And last but not least, well, probably two more. Five. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 13, 1 Cor 12, and verse 13, we are told that we are baptized to get into the body. Am I right? I know I'm right. And last but not least, chapter 5, 6. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, and verse 27, we are told that we are baptized to get in Jesus Christ. Huh? Six purposes for which we are baptized? No. 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 I make a few statements. The lesson is yours. And if there are questions, come back tonight. I'm willing to accommodate any question. Because I assume when you ask a question, you are sincere. You want to learn. Be that you're a visitor or a member. Brothers and sisters, dear visitors, in these, when you read these, it is not stating six different purposes or reason for baptism. May I? These are not competing purposes or design for baptism. They are different statements expressing one single truth. Let me say it again. It's saying the very same thing in four or five or six different ways. The one purpose for which men and women are baptized is for the removal of their sin. All these are saying the same thing, but express it in different ways. For example, baptized to be saved. baptized for the remission of sin. Watch here now. Once you get your sins removed, you are saved. Baptized to wash away sin. You see, the bottom line is dealing with your sin. Baptized to get in Christ. That's where forgiveness is. Once you get in Christ, your sin is removed. The only way to get in Christ is to have your sin. So when the Bible talks about getting in Christ, it has to do with the removal of your sin. Identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the same thing. Christ's blood to remove sin was shed here at his death, etc., etc. So when you conform to his death, burial, and resurrection, you get your sins removed, you're saved. They are not stating six different purposes for which we are baptized. Nobody in the Bible was ever told to be baptized for any other purpose other than for the removal of sin. And all these statements are saying that very same thing, but just expressing it in different ways. If you are here today, if you are not a child of God, I have no doubt that the Almighty God brought you here today for you to be enlightened by this lesson in respect to the importance and the necessity of baptism. You don't want to leave here and not submitting your life to Jesus Christ through obedience to his will. May I? Dear visitor, if you are not a child of God, the Almighty God who loves and cares for you so much does not compromise on his condition for salvation. Truly. God's not going to make it less or more. What is stated in the gospel, we must adhere to it. Are we all there? An invitation song will be sung in a few seconds or minutes. May I? You know, a man went to the bank to loan some money. And when he told the loan officer what he needed, he wanted to know what his monthly payment would be and what the interest is. When the loan officer told him the interest, the man was a religious man, and he turned to the loan officer and said, "But God accepts only 10%. The loan officer said, 10% might be adequate for God. But we here at First National don't go lower than 18%. What is the point? What the loan officer was saying, we don't compromise on our interest rate. I have some news for you. God does not compromise either on his plan of salvation. That's right. You may find man-made church out there that compromise you become a Christian this way. And every man can find a church that cater to his fancy. But in the true church, God does not compromise. And if you want to be a child of God, the Bible's way, give God thanks that he brought you here this morning to listen to this lesson. That one, you must be baptized, and that baptism is for the removal of your sin. It's not that the water removes your sin, but it is that it can never be removed until you are buried in the water according to God's command. We are inviting you now to come and give Jesus Christ your life. Believing first, you must accept that you're a sinner. Please, don't ever fight with that. You must accept that you're a sinner. Having accepted that you have sin in God's sight, you have done things you should not do, and that now you are in sin, and the Bible says in sin you are a slave, a bond servant, a bond slave to sin. But you can be emancipated through Jesus Christ and his blood. So you must believe that Jesus Christ is the answer to your sin problem. Having believed that he is, to accept him, you must not only believe, you must repent. What does that mean? You must change the direction that your life has been taking over the past 15 years. Your life has taken the direction of doing what you want, what you like, what you enjoy. Repentance means you will turn in the direction to what Jesus Christ wants, what Christ likes, what Jesus Christ commands you to do in the gospel, and that includes repent and get baptized. In fact, he said if you don't do that, you will perish. So if today you will repent and get baptized, having confessed Christ's name, you can be saved. When we stand and sing now, it's a chance, good chance for you to step forward. Let us stand.